Welcome to today's show, Strategic Insights Radio, brought to you by Sterling Rose Consulting Corp., live at the Mitsubishi Electric Classic. Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. is a full-service business consulting firm with three divisions: business consulting, marketing consulting, and strategic business technology consulting. Today, we are honored to have the Senior Business Development Manager and head of the new Birmingham, Alabama office for Sterling Rose Consulting Corp., Kenneth Gerlach. Ken has a long and distinguished career working for companies such as Blockbuster, Books a Million, Rite Aid, and CVS Corporation, among others. He brings over 20 years of experience in operational restructuring, management consulting, risk management, loss prevention processes, and turnaround process consulting. And of course, you will be hearing from me, the founder and CEO of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp., Jennifer Roos. For those who don't know me, I have a long career working for both corporations and as an entrepreneur. I began my career in the 90s in market intelligence, business operations, and management for companies such as MidAmerica Research, Fact and Focus, Lucent Technologies, Kyocera Wireless, ARS Current Analysis, and WebSend Software Security Solutions, before starting my first company in 2004. Since then, I've been a business consultant, now founder and CEO of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. Today's Strategic Insights radio broadcast is going to discuss the risks and rewards of company expansion, and also to officially announce the opening of the Trustville, Alabama, Birmingham location of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. First thing, Ken, thank you for being on the show, and thank you for coming all the way to Gwinnett County, Georgia, to discuss the new operations. I want to first talk a little bit about you and why you came to Sterling Rose Consulting Corp.
Well, honestly, I've been a part of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. since almost the beginning. I've come on board originally as a 1099 contractor, helping to grow the sales and visibility in Gwinnett County. Over the course of the past 3 years, I've watched the company grow and increase its overall visibility locally, and now in 2017, it's finally become time for me to come on full-time and help with the expansion of the company for the first satellite location in another state.
So you mentioned that it's the right time for the company to expand and you to come on. So one of the biggest questions for most small businesses and entrepreneurial ventures is, when is the right time to grow? Right? Because we all know that it costs money, time, it can be a real drain on resources to do any expansion at all for a company, especially in an untapped marketplace.
It's very true. It can be a drain on any company, but when we made a decision as a firm to open this new location, it was not a quick decision. In fact, it was always part of Sterling Rose's business plan. Now, why we chose Birmingham or Trustville specifically is because I actually live in the area. And I have for a number of years. I made several contacts already, and I understand the marketplace and how Birmingham works. Also, with more than 3,500 new jobs and $1.1 billion in capital investment that was announced in 2015, Birmingham region is now a powerhouse in Alabama. Birmingham has an excellent transportation infrastructure, low cost of living and doing business, unprecedented collaboration and support among local business leaders. The area has also has the workforce at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, which will generate a place to acquire skilled labor that I will need to help build this location.
So let's talk a little bit about growing companies, right? In general, some of the risks that face them. First thing, I've always noticed when I talk to a lot of my clients and a lot of the companies that I deal with, that there's a lot of undeveloped operational infrastructure. So this is one of the most common risk factors that I actually see when working with these companies. Most growing companies are so focused on their ability to produce that they actually spend little effort on building that operational infrastructure. So let's start by defining what I mean by operational infrastructure. I'm talking about the systems. So like working procedures, communication channels, decision-making, information processing, planning, performance management, rules and policies, goals and measures, rewards and recognitions, staffing and selection, training and development even. So many senior executives mistakenly equate infrastructure with overhead. Right? They think it's a cost that's involved. And yes, there is a cost that's involved. But the reality is, when we're referring to the operational infrastructure required, it is required to effectively market, to care for the customers, to generate the revenue, and sustain that competitiveness. It's how they scale. How would you manage that risk?
To manage that risk as an acid test, think of your business as a franchise that you sell. To what extent have you built an operational infrastructure that transcends your employees and management team? Streamline your manual workforce before you tinker with the technical systems. For instance, if we need a new computer system, it is an easy crutch, but it results in many companies simply automating their own efficiencies. Creating the appropriate level of operational infrastructure will enable you to work on your business rather than in your business. This will help address common frustration we hear from the clients that are CEOs. Winston Churchill said, for the first 25 years of my life, I wanted freedom. For the next 25 years, I wanted order. For the next 25 years, I've realized order is freedom. The appropriate amount of infrastructure can free you up to work on your business rather than in your business.
And that's so true. I mean, a lot of entrepreneurs, their major issue is that they're always working in their business. They're not actually working to grow that business. They're so busy working on the day-to-day tasks of a business. So I know as Sterling Rose Consulting Co., one of our main competitive differentiators is the quality of the work that we provide, the quality of the products and the services and our customer care. As a growing company, one of the major risks that present themselves is the possibility of declining product and service quality. And poor quality and service will have a direct effect on continual growth of the company. But as we all know, when you grow, there will be a point you hit a critical mass. And even past it, when you have the customers, but not necessarily staff. And if you're small, you can't afford the staff until you have the customers. And it's kind of that chicken and egg scenario, right? So in your case, what do you think are some of the issues with that? Or do you agree with that statement? Or
I completely agree with that statement. Companies need to shift their business model and employees focus to profitable growth. There are a number of factors that will drive poor quality and service. One, of course, is having enough employees to meet the demand. But the other is a lack of educating the employees. So educating your employees, remember, while doing that, it's 5 times more expensive to acquire a new customer than it is to sell more to your existing customers. So companies need to refocus on their customers' needs and related processes to meet those needs. And remember, your biggest customer is your employee. They are also your biggest advocate. The better you treat your employee, the better they will treat your customer. So take the time to train them, provide the tools, and retain your employees.
You talk about employee retention, so retaining that employee. Why do you think it's so important to retain a good employee?
Well, finding the right staff is always the hardest part of the business. You spend a lot of resources just interviewing, hiring, and training. To hire a cashier at a regular retail store, it'll cost you around $5,000 just for that minimum wage cashier to come on board for the first week.
Okay, because I know over at Sterling Rose, right, to bring on a business consultant that specifically works just on the business planning side of our business, it's actually $150,000. In total between training, acquisition, time it takes away from the actual management to do the surfing for the actual person. It's a total process. It's not just this one simple, I found this great person, let's get them started, and they're going to be right off the bat.
Well, that's what most people tend to forget about, is while you're looking for those employees, it actually takes time away from you conducting your regular day-to-day business. So you have to account for any hours missed by upper management to search for these candidates, because most companies don't have a human resources built into a small business. So the CEOs are the ones that are hunting for these candidates.
Yeah, I know. I just went through this process, and I'm continually going through this process as we continue to grow. And I know that you're doing the same thing up in my Alabama office. So it's one of those things, though, that is that necessary evil. But it's one thing that the process should be put in place from the very beginning, because it's going to cause issues.
It definitely is.
And I know that another major factor is companies' inability to capture key data, right? This risk factor results in inefficient data collection, slow decision-making, poor performance management, all the way from corporate results to individual production. So when companies do not manage this risk factor, they actually rely on what we call a gut feel management, right? That's such a scary comment that I always get. Oh yeah, I think that's the right decision. And then they're talking about their financial management and their financial projections.
You're completely right. Companies fail to identify and focus on the key successes factors and corresponding measures. Just keep in mind that what gets measured gets done in most companies. Then integrate your systems. After all, you have streamlined your manual processes to capture data that you need.
So let's talk a little bit about mergers and acquisitions. As you know, a majority of the mergers and acquisitions do not meet performance expectations, right? And it starts at the very beginning. I think it starts at the due diligence process or that phase. And I think it's mostly because during that phase, and it is truly my opinion, that there aren't good processes put in place for the due diligence process.
Due diligence is key. That is why when I consult, first thing in an M&A situation is to make sure that they have the proper due diligence process created. Create a diligence process. It can be boiled down to as easy as a checklist and a team. Then you need to stick to that. The team can be used as an effective developmental assignment, but do ensure that there is reasonable continuity in the team. Assesses people, culture, match issues, and then determine if there's a good fit for your organization.
Now let's talk a little bit about growth in Birmingham, Alabama with Sterling Rose Consulting Corp. What process did you take in the launch of the Birmingham office?
Well, before even starting to decide to move to the new area, we did our research, potential markets, financial forecasts, also looked at the Birmingham market to focus on. Then reached out to the local chamber of commerces. In my case, it was the Trustville in Gardendale. And also looked into a number of networking groups so that my company can be branded properly in the area. Then I looked for sponsorship opportunities. And of course, I made sure the legal side of the company was properly set up.
Was there anything else that you did out there?
The main focus right now is branding and getting recognition in the community. Being new to the market of Birmingham, which is completely untapped to us, it's all about getting in front of the right people. It's putting our name out in the community and getting everybody to know what we do and who we are.
So how are you exactly doing that?
I'm doing that through sponsorships. We're working with different organizations. Primarily right now, I'm focused with the chambers. I'm working with getting into the Rotary clubs out there. Other networking events that are coming around, I'm going to try to get involved with. I'm meeting with different people in the different areas, such as UAB. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to get our name out there in front of the people. It's really just getting that 10 seconds in front of somebody to talk to them.
So what, as far as events that are being held out there, are there any that are coming up that really focus on?
We're actually going to be a sponsor at the event on April 20th at the Trustville Civic Center, which will host the UAB football's new head coach, which is brand new to the area again. They just brought that program back after 2 years of non-existence. So it's getting a lot of attention, and we're hoping for a very good turnout.
Well, I'm looking forward to see what happens. Why do you think going the route of sponsorship in these chambers is the right move to make?
Well, doing the sponsorship gets you that area to brand yourself. It puts you in front of the people. It gives you a table, a booth. It pretty much puts your name right there in front of everybody. So no matter what you do, you're going to see us at the event, which is what you want to do when you're breaking into a market. You want people to recognize you.
Since this is completely an untapped market for Sterling Rose, right? This is an untapped market for our business. What have some of the trials been, and how have you overcome them into the area? And I know that you're brand new up there too, and we're just starting out, but there has to be some stuff that's going on.
Well, one of the biggest trials is being a new business up there in an untapped market. It's very difficult to do business in an area that nobody knows who you are. So the hardest thing to do is to get the people to slow down and allow you to get that 10 seconds to talk to them. Make sure that you get in front of them and make sure that you can put your message and your name out there.
So let's talk about the future of Sterling Rose Consulting Corp, Alabama. And what, if any, plans can you talk about for the future location?
Well, currently the only thing I can tell you is that we're expecting to grow. We're expecting to take on a lot of clients out there, and we're expecting to increase our sales force. We want to be a big presence in the community. We want to be known out there. So our whole expectation is to be the Sterling Rose Corporation out there.
And as far as giving back to the community, I know one of the things that I'm really big on, and part of the breakdown of what Sterling Rose is and how we do business, is that our management team gives back. It's part of why I created this company. How are you giving back to your community up in Birmingham?
Well, currently I am the pitching and hitting coach for the Clay White Sox, 5 and 6 year old youth athletics.
That must be really cute and fun.
It has its moments.
If people wanted to get in touch with you to learn more about Sterling Rose Consulting Corp, Alabama, what do they do?
Well, you can contact me pretty easily through my phone number, which is 205-746-2058. Or you can email me at kgerlach@sterlingroseconsultingcorp.com. That's kgerlach@sterlingroseconsultingcorp.com.
Thank you, Kenneth. This is Strategic Insights Radio, discussing the growth of a company, what risks exist, and how to mitigate those risks. For more information about Sterling Rose Consulting Corp or the Sterling Rose Consulting Corp, Alabama, contact Sterling Rose Consulting Corp at 470-202-8255. 8659 or visit us at www.sterlingrosconsultingcorp.com.